So, I got this story, right? It's about this time I encountered the Jersey Devil. No joke. It sounds crazy, but hear me out. It was a typical evening. I was chilling at home, scrolling through my phone, bored out of my mind. My buddy Mike texts me. He's all hyped about exploring the Pine Barrens in New Jersey. You know, that place is famous for all sorts of weird stories and legends. I'm like, sure, why not? I needed something to break the monotony. We drive down there a couple of hours just shooting the breeze. The Pine Barrens, it's this huge forest. Dark, dense, and kinda eerie. We park the car near this trail Mike heard about. He's got this whole plan, saying how we might see some foxes or deer. But deep down, we're both thinking about the Jersey Devil. That's the real reason we're here. So, we're walking, and it's getting dark. The trees are like these looming shadows all around us. We've got our flashlights, but they don't do much. Every sound seems amplified. A branch snaps, we jump. It's kind of funny in retrospect. We're a couple of hours in, and I'm starting to think this was a dumb idea. It's pitch black, we're in the middle of nowhere, and my phone's barely got any signal. Classic horror movie setup. Mike's trying to keep the mood light, cracking jokes. But I can tell, he's a bit on edge too. Then it happens. We hear this sound. It's this high-pitched, blood-curdling scream. We freeze. Mike whispers, "What the heck was that?" I have no clue. We shine our lights around, but there's nothing. Just trees and darkness. We start moving again, faster now, almost jogging. The sound comes again, closer this time. It's like nothing on this earth. My heart's pounding so hard I can barely think. Mike grabs my arm, points. Up ahead, in the flashlight beam, there's this figure. It's hard to see clearly, but it looks humanoid, yet not human. Wings, maybe? It's too quick to tell. This thing, whatever it is, stands at the edge of our flashlight beam, kind of hunched over, like it's sizing us up. It's got this weird, lanky body, and for a second it looks like it's covered in this dark, matted fur. Or who knows, really? It's all just a total blur. Mike nudges me, whispers, "Is that it? The Jersey Devil?" I wish I knew. My brain's screaming that it's just a story, a legend. But standing there in the middle of the Pine Barrens, it feels way too real. Then, the thing moves. It's not walking. It's more like a lurch. Each movement seems unnatural, like it's not used to being on the ground. The way it moves sends me into a tailspin. It's silent, eerily silent. I can't even hear it breathing. We're both too scared to move, too scared to even breathe loudly. The creature, or whatever it is, tilts its head, like it's curious. That's when I notice its eyes. They're reflecting the light from our flashlights, glowing in a way that's not normal. Animal eyes glow in the dark, sure, but this was different. These eyes had a calculating look. Mike's gripping my arm so hard it hurts. I want to tell him to run, but I can't make my voice work. We're just frozen there, staring at this thing as it stares back at us. Then, just as suddenly as it appeared, it spreads what I now clearly see are wings. Huge wings. They unfurl with this soft, whooshing sound. And for a split second, it looks majestic, almost beautiful in a terrifying kind of way. And then, it leaps into the air. The sight of it flying, it's so surreal, like something out of a nightmare. We hear those wings flapping, powerful and fast, and we can feel the air pressure change as they beat above us. And then it's gone, disappearing into the night sky. The sound fades and everything goes quiet. That's when we bolt. We're stumbling through the dark, tripping over roots and branches. We're not talking, not even looking back. All I can think about is getting out of there, getting away from whatever that was. When we finally see the car, it's like seeing a rescue ship. We know we're going to be safe, just have to get there. We dive in, lock the doors, and I just drive. We don't even put on our seatbelts, just drive as fast as the car will go. The drive back is silent at first. We're both processing, trying to make sense of what we saw. Mike finally says, "Did we really just see that?" I don't answer. I don't know what to say. Part of me wants to believe it was all in our heads, a trick of light and shadow. But another part, a deeper part, knows it was real. For days after, I can't shake the feeling of those glowing eyes watching me. I see them in my dreams, hear the sound of those wings. Mike keeps talking about going back, about proving what we saw. But me? I don't need any more proof. Some things you just can't explain, and maybe that's okay. That's my story about the Jersey Devil. Believe it or not, that's up to you. But out there, in the Pine Barrens, something's lurking, and I've seen it with my own eyes. So, I'll just dive right into this. I'm a professional ice sculptor. Yeah, you heard that right. I carve sculptures out of blocks of ice for events, parties, you name it. It's a job that not everyone can say they do. I've worked everywhere from high-end New York galleries to private events in Los Angeles. But this thing that happened to me while working changed my life. It happened up north, in Banff, Canada. It's a place where nature isn't just at your doorstep, it's looming over your shoulder. Now, I was there for a gig at this big outdoor winter festival a few years ago. They wanted something special, something that would stand out. So they flew me in to carve a life-sized figure of a legendary First Nations creature, right there in the open, using a block of ice from the lake. The setting was picturesque, with the forest blanketed in snow. The festival was in full swing, and I was in my zone, chiseling away, lost in the rhythm of my craft, when the sun began to dip below the horizon, and the cold really started to bite. The crowds thinned, heading to warm up, but I had to finish the sculpture. That's when things got weird. The surroundings got quiet, like eerily quiet. No animal sounds, no wind, just silence. I'm used to the cold, but this felt like the air was being sucked out of the place. I should have taken that as a sign to pack up, but at that point, I wasn't thinking this was bad, just weird. So, I paused a bit to keep my head clear, and that's when I heard it, the cracking of branches. Or, should I say, the loud snapping of tree branches, like that loud popping noise that huge limbs can make. Also, it was deliberate and heavy. Before turning on my chainsaw again, I looked around the perimeter of where I was working, and that's when I saw it. Between the trees, there was this figure, tall and thin, impossibly thin, with arms that were too long, dangling by its sides. Its eyes were like this glowing, haunting red, and they were locked onto me. Now, I've heard stories, you know, legends of this spirit of the lonely places, a creature where the cold and the hunger that never ends. I always thought it was just that, stories. But there it was, and it looked hungry. Don't ask me how I knew, but I knew. It took a step forward and every instinct in my body screamed to run, but I couldn't. And what I now know as a Wendigo tilted its head, almost curious, and then let out a sound that I can only describe as a howl mixed with a scream. It was a call that seemed to pierce right through me. I even checked my ice sculpture thinking it could have cracked. That's the pitch I'm talking about here. I was rooted to the spot as if the ice beneath my feet had crept up and claimed me, holding me captive. My breaths came out in quick puffs, the only sound in the deafening silence that had fallen over the forest. The Wendigo, because what else could it have been, cocked its head to the side, considering me with those burning red eyes. In that moment, I was sure it was the end for me. I was no stranger to the cold, but the chill that came off this thing was different. It wasn't just physical, it was existential. I thought about yelling for help, but my work area was off at the edge of the festival and a good distance away. Who would hear me? No, I was alone with this creature. Then it did something I didn't expect. It spoke, or at least it made sounds that resembled speech, a garbled, distorted version of language. I couldn't understand the words, if they were words, but the intent behind them felt clear. It was a warning. I guess all the hissing that came with that garbled sounds is what made me know it was a warning. The creature took another step, close enough now that I could see the details of its emaciated form, the way its skin seemed to be stretched over its bones, the ragged remnants of what might have been skin hanging from its frame. It was a complete sign of starvation, of insatiable hunger and relentless cold. I don't know what compelled me. Maybe it was the absurdity of the situation, but I found my voice. "What do you want?" I managed to yell, my voice sounding foreign to my own ears. The Wendigo paused, and for a second, I thought I saw a flicker of confusion, or was it amusement in its eyes? Obviously, it didn't answer, at least not in a way I could understand. Instead, it reached out a hand towards me, fingers elongated and ending in what could only be claws. That was the jolt I needed. The paralysis broke and I ran. I ran with a speed I didn't know I had, my breaths coming in ragged gasps. My only thought to get away from that thing. I didn't look back. I couldn't. The fear that it might be right behind me, reaching out to grab me, was too much. I burst out of the tree line into the festival grounds, gasping for air, looking like a madman. The last few people there turned to look at me, concern and confusion on their faces. I must have looked a sight, with my wide eyes and my equipment clutched to my chest, as if it could protect me. I didn't stop to explain. I made my way to the organizer's tent, threw down my tools, and told them I was done. They tried to ask me what had happened, but I couldn't form the words. I just shook my head, grabbed my stuff, and left. I knew I wouldn't be able to explain it, not in a way that would make sense, not in a way that wouldn't have them questioning my sanity. I left the sculpture unfinished, a block of ice with only the rough shape of the creature I'd been hired to carve. In a way, it felt fitting. The real creature, the Wendigo, was out there, unchained and unfathomable, and no amount of art could capture the essence of that encounter. I haven't been back to the festival since then. Not that year or any year since. Also, I find myself looking over my shoulder, wondering if what I saw will ever come for me again. I know it's a crazy thought since I haven't been back to that area, but I can be triggered anywhere. That's what really stinks about all of this. I'm just having a hard time getting past it and hoping that sharing here might help. I'm finally writing in to tell you about this one time, a couple of years ago, that I thought I might lose my life. It was a warm night in August with a full moon, and I was out driving with my windows down through the countryside in Kentucky, right around the land between the lakes. For me, there is something about driving on Kentucky's back roads after dark that's just peaceful. The only sounds are the quiet hum of the car's engine, and the soft light from the dashboard keeping you company. The monotony of the sound is relaxing for me when I can't sleep. So there I was, alone on the road, except maybe for the occasional animal showing its face in my headlights. Now, the moonlit scenery in this part of Kentucky is gorgeous. But let me tell you, it's got this spooky vibe too. We're talking about stretches and stretches of isolated woods. The sort of place that might make you think twice about stopping after dark, or maybe even during the day. So I'm driving, and suddenly, there's this low, strange growling noise that cuts through the quiet. At first, I'm thinking it's the car. Maybe I'm driving over some rough patch, and the tires are complaining. But no, this sound was coming from outside of the car. I slow down a bit and then this smell hits me, and it's nasty like something's rotting, but way stronger, like it's been concentrated by the night air or something. You might think it's a dead animal or some trash someone chucked out their window. But this was not just your regular kind of decay. It was off, kind of sinister, unusual enough that you knew something wasn't right about it. And while I was trying to figure out what could possibly make that kind of smell, that growl got louder, turning into this howl that went right through me. My hand went to the door lock and the window button without thinking, and I made sure I was locked inside. Not like it would really do much good if someone wanted to smash the window. I'm trying to stay focused on the road, trying to keep it together, but that smell's just getting stronger, and I'm pretty sure it's seeping into the car. I start coughing. It's that bad, and it feels like it's getting closer. I'm honestly now thinking that I hit an animal like a skunk or something, and it's stuck in the wheel well. I decide to pull over, figuring if there's an animal in there, I'll get it out and get some air. So I'm hesitating, but I check the rearview mirror to be sure it's safe to get out. Nothing there. But then, my eyes drift to the window, and that's when I see these eyes outside. They're glowing, two yellow spots in the dark, staring in from the tree line. My heart starts racing, and this feeling of dread just grabs hold of me. These eyes, they're not at the normal height for an animal. Not a deer or a coyote or anything I've seen before. They're up higher, belonging to something big, something that just doesn't fit in. Then those glowing spots rise up even more, and I realize that this thing is standing up while I'm watching it. So this thing steps out from the trees, and even in the weak moonlight, I can see it clear enough. It's hunched over on these weird, too long legs that remind me of a dog's legs, but it's huge, towering over everything. The smell's just getting worse. It's like wet dog mixed with something rotten, and I can see it's covered in this thick, dark fur. It's got these massive arms with claws at the end, like something that shouldn't be alive or even exist. Its shoulders are wide, and the chest is huge, but it's the face that I just can't get out of my head. It's got this long snout, all scarred up like it's seen a ton of fights. Then it lets out this howl, starts off as a growl, but turns into this screech that just cuts right through me, and I'm now 100% sure that this is what was making the noises I heard a bit ago. I'm sitting there in my car. Every part of me is screaming to get out, but I can't move. I'm just locked inside and feeling trapped. But the thing, it doesn't seem to care about me at first. It's busy with something in its claws, just tearing into it. But then it stops, like it's been startled, and looks straight up into the sky. It then sniffs the air and turns its head towards me, and those yellow eyes fix right on me and my car. We're just there, staring at each other, and I can hear my own heartbeat over everything. But then, just as fast as it showed up, the thing darts back into the woods, and I'm left there, sitting with the car still running, trying to make sense of what I'd seen. After a bit, though, all the thinking just gets pushed out by this urgent need to get out of there, like my brain's flipped a switch to survival mode. I take this big breath, slam the gas pedal, and just drive like crazy into the night. The whole way, my mind is racing, replaying that scene over and over. Once I'm back and can think straight, I start looking up all these stories about creatures, cryptids they call them. Not because I want to, really, but because I need to understand what I saw. And I find out there's all these sightings of something they call a dog man all over the place, not just Kentucky. Reading those stories, they felt too real, too much like what I saw. But at the same time, I found it strangely comforting to put a name to the creature. And the thing is, even though it scared the hell out of me, I still find myself driving on those same roads every so often. There's this weird thing, like fear mixed with a kind of pull towards whatever it is out there. I can't quite explain it. It's just this feeling that there's stuff out there we don't know about, and that this creature is still out there somewhere, probably even with a family and others like it, which is terrifying. So I'm now thinking I best stop those midnight drives, but we'll see what ends up happening. Where I live, there is this old abandoned warehouse on the outskirts of town. Oh yeah, and for context, I live outside of San Antonio, Texas. It's late evening, the kind of time when the sun is set, but it's not completely dark yet, and you're surrounded by shades of blues and blacks. I've gone out to the old warehouse because I've heard rumors about strange sightings in the area, and being a bit of a thrill seeker, I couldn't resist the chance to check it out for myself. I'd been planning it for a while. I remember it was a Thursday, around 7 p.m. I told myself I was just going for a quick look. The warehouse was known for its creepy, dilapidated state, a perfect spot for urban explorers and those looking for a bit of a scare. I've always been drawn to such places. There's something about the silence and the history that speaks to me. The moment I stepped inside, I felt I had made a mistake. A creepy feeling instantly came over me, which surprised me, but I didn't stop. My flashlight was on, but it barely cut through the darkness. The place was huge, with shadows from all the abandoned crap left behind, seemed to stretch on forever. The walls were covered in graffiti, and the floor was littered with debris. It was exactly what you'd expect from an abandoned warehouse. I was wandering through the main floor, taking in the eerie atmosphere, when I heard it, a soft, skittering sound, like mice, but more intense. At first, I thought it was just a rat or something, but it didn't sound quite right. It was too rhythmic, too deliberate. I froze, shining my flashlight towards the direction of the sound. As the light cut through the darkness, it landed on something that made my blood run cold. There, in the beam of my flashlight, was a creature unlike anything I'd ever seen. It was crouched low to the ground, its body elongated and covered in what looked like slick, wet skin. The most unsettling part was its face, or lack thereof. Where you'd expect eyes, a nose, or a mouth, there was nothing but a smooth, featureless surface. It was like looking at a living, breathing void. It was hunched over, its skin a sickly pale color, almost translucent. It moved in a way that was unnatural, like its limbs didn't quite fit its body. The way it crawled along the floor was, well, it was unsettling. I couldn't move. My mind was racing, trying to make sense of what I was seeing. This was no human, and it certainly wasn't any animal I knew of. The creature stopped, and for a moment it felt like it was looking right at me, even though I couldn't make out any eyes. Panic set in. I knew I had to get out of there, but my legs wouldn't cooperate. It was like I was trapped in one of those nightmares where you can't run no matter how hard you try, like sleep paralysis. Then the creature moved. It was quick, almost a blur. In that split second, every instinct I had screamed at me to run, my feet were refusing to obey. The creature's movements were jerky, like a badly animated character in a horror film. It darted from one shadow to another, its form barely discernible in the dim light. I remember my breath catching in my throat, my heart pounding so loudly I was sure it would burst. The fear was paralyzing, but it was also exhilarating in a way. I was witnessing something incredible, something beyond my understanding. I knew I should be running, getting as far away as possible, but a part of me was curious, fascinated even. The creature stopped suddenly, its body tensed as if it was listening for something. The warehouse was silent, save for the distant sound of traffic and the occasional creak of the old building settling. I could feel its presence, a heavy, oppressive feeling that made the air seem thicker. It was like we were the only two beings in the world at that moment. Then it turned towards me. I still couldn't see its face clearly, but I felt its gaze on me, penetrating. I wondered if this was it, if I was about to become a victim in some unsolved mystery. You know the kind, body never found, kind of story. My mind raced with thoughts of my family, my friends, and all the things I'd left unsaid and undone. But it didn't attack. Instead, it just watched me, its head tilting slightly as if trying to understand what I was. The tension in the air was palpable. I realized then that it was as wary of me as I was of it. We were two creatures, both scared and curious. The standoff seemed to last an eternity, but it was probably only a few seconds. Then, as quickly as it had appeared, the creature turned and scuttled away, disappearing into the shadows once more. I was left alone in the silence, my heart still racing, my mind struggling to process what I'd just seen. It took me a few moments to gather my wits. I realized then that I needed to get out, that staying any longer was tempting fate. I made my way back to the entrance, my steps hurried but cautious, my ears straining for any sound of movement, but the creature was gone, and the warehouse was as silent as a grave. When I finally stepped outside, the cool night air felt like a balm. I took a deep breath, trying to steady my shaking hands. I looked back at the warehouse, its dark windows like empty eyes watching me. I knew then that I'd never forget what happened, that the memory would haunt me for the rest of my life. I drove home that night with a mix of fear and awe. I knew that no one would believe my story, that it would sound like the ramblings of someone who'd spent too much time in the dark. But it didn't matter. I knew what I'd seen, and that was enough for me. I've always felt drawn to the mystery and intrigue of the Sonoran Desert. There's something about these harsh, unforgiving landscapes that stir the imagination. An endless sea of saguaro, sage, and mesquite, hiding centuries of secrets. Since I was a boy, I loved poring over tales of lost mines, vanished bandit gangs, and strange phenomena reported in the borderlands. As soon as I finished my studies, I left home and secured a job as a park ranger at Saguaro National Park. I couldn't wait to get out in the backcountry, far from the hordes of tourists clogging the visitor centers. Don't get me wrong, interpreting the desert ecology for families is rewarding, but my passion lies in exploration, charting new miles of trails, finding petroglyphs untouched by modern archaeologists, scanning remote wildlife cameras for rare species. The pay isn't glamorous. Most consider it a lonely existence, but this is the life I was meant for. Over my decades stationed at the park, I've investigated my share of odd incidents. Border crossers, stranded hikers, smugglers using the park to traffic their wares. But nothing could prepare me for the encounter I had several weeks ago. It started a few weeks back when I was hiking along the Peralta Trail, surveying for illegal dumping, when I first caught a glimpse of the bizarre creature. Out of the corner of my eye, I spotted what looked like a tall, hairy, humanoid creature traipsing through the desert scrub. I know that sounds crazy, but I swear on my life that's what I saw. I wrote it off as exhaustion and dehydration. But then I started noticing strange movements and sounds around my campsite at night. Heavy footfalls crunching through the brush. Unfamiliar howls piercing the darkness. I set up a night vision camera near my tent, facing the direction the noises seemed to come from. And wouldn't you know it, after a few nights I checked the footage and saw a hulking bipedal beast lurking just outside my sight. It was only on screen for a moment, but it was enough to confirm I wasn't losing my mind. I began actively searching for signs of the creature's presence, and sure enough, I found giant footprints in the sand near watering holes, tufts of coarse hair caught in the thorns of desert plants. I even found a few small bones I couldn't identify buried in the dirt. One moonless night, I gathered my courage and hiked back to the area I last spotted the thing. I crouched silently in the shadows for hours until I heard the heavy footfalls approaching. As my eyes adjusted, I could just make out the silhouette of a massive, barrel-chested beast prowling on all fours. It stopped and stood up on two legs, well over 7 feet tall. That's when I snapped a photo, and the flash gave me away. It turned and bounded off into the darkness with unbelievable speed and agility. I still have so many questions. What is this creature? Where did it come from? Why does it stay hidden in the remotest corners of the desert? I may never know the answers, but I know in my gut this is real. At first, I was too scared to tell a soul, worried I might lose my position if the higher-ups thought I was crazy. But secrets don't keep long in a small park office. Pretty soon, my colleagues caught me muttering over the surreal footage I captured. Reluctantly, I showed them, bracing for ridicule. But most were intrigued rather than skeptical. Turns out many of the old-timers have stories of their own. Strange howls echoing through remote valleys on new moons. Odd arrangements of stones and feathers found deep in slot canyons. Hikers feeling watched, suddenly overwhelmed by the feeling of not being alone out there. I contacted a zoologist at the University of Arizona, an expert on Sonoran desert wildlife. He was stunned by the images of this gangly, reddish-brown humanoid, loping through the frame on all fours. He refused to render an opinion without more evidence, but agreed to accompany me on an expedition to locate further proof. He and I started taking frequent treks into the remote backcountry, tracking down any clues. It didn't take long before we started noticing signs of something very large and dangerous, roaming the high rocky plateaus. We located several stands of scrub oak and mesquite that had deep gashes scraped into their trunks, nearly 7 feet off the ground. The bark was shredded in spots all the way to the wood beneath. These didn't seem like the kind of scratches a bear or mountain lion would leave. They appeared more akin to territorial markings. On a few cliff sides, we discovered massive piles of excrement, absolutely littered with animal fur, fragments of bone, claws, and hooves. Some type of predator must be dragging its prey back to these caves for shelter and sustenance. I collected samples, but lab tests were unable to pinpoint any known native species as the likely culprit. Most chilling were the tufts of wiry reddish-brown hair we located snagged on the spiny thorns blanketing the area. This hair didn't seem to match that of a coyote, bobcat, or any animal I'd expect to reside in the Sonoran. It appeared eerily similar to the gangly fur I spotted on the creature I saw. I bagged several samples to share with veterinary analysts. Throughout all these excursions, we kept vigilant watch for direct sightings, but the crafty beast somehow managed to avoid being spotted. It seemed only active in the dim hours of twilight through early dawn. As much as we pushed to stay out from dusk till daybreak, exhaustion inevitably forced us to concede the nights. The creature itself remained elusive in the daytime hours, but we are marking its territory everywhere it traveled in the park. I can't deny I've grown a bit obsessed. I now also plow through any books and blogs about cryptids of the Southwest. I pick the brains of native historians, anthropologists, and park rangers about local legends. Some clues trace back to Paleo-Indian mythology, others to medieval Spanish missionary texts. Everything from shape-shifting tricksters, children reared by wolves, to migratory werewolf tales. The most I can conclude is that for centuries there have been sightings out here of something more than animal, yet clearly not human. Its nature and origin remains clouded in mystery, but I aim to be the one who finally drags this desert dweller into the light of understanding. Cryptozoology may scoff, but I know what I saw, and one way or another, I intend to uncover the reality behind this phantom of the Sonora. Alright, so, let me tell you about something weird that happened to me a while back. I'm not the kind of person you'd expect to run into something out of the ordinary. I'm a land surveyor, which means most of my days are spent measuring and mapping out land, usually for construction projects or real estate deals. It's not exactly a job where you'd expect to run into anything unexplainable. But here's the thing, I did, or at least I think I did. This happened up in northern Minnesota, near the Boundary Waters Canoe Area Wilderness. It's a massive expanse of forest and water, super remote and mostly untouched. I was out there for a job, doing some preliminary surveys for a potential development project. Yeah, I know, development near such a pristine area doesn't sound great, but that's a story for another time. And just so you know, the development never did go through. So, I'm out there with my equipment, trekking through the dense forest, making my way to a specific plot of land. I remember it was a clear day, late in the afternoon. I had just finished up some measurements and was about to call it a day when I heard this sound. It's hard to describe. It wasn't like anything natural. Not an animal, not the wind. It was this kind of pulsating hum, almost like a generator, but smoother. Out there, it was such a strange sound that I decided to check it out. I followed the sound, moving away from my designated survey area. It was a bit of a hike, and as I got closer, the sound got louder, more enveloping. It's weird, but it almost felt like the sound was inside my head, vibrating through me. Then I saw it. In a clearing ahead, there was this craft. It was metallic and sort of disc-shaped, but not like the classic flying saucer you see in movies. It had these intricate patterns on its surface, glowing with a soft blue light. The craft was just hovering there, a few feet off the ground, completely silent except for that strange hum. I stood there for what felt like an eternity, just watching. I wasn't scared, not exactly. More like mesmerized. Then, the side of the craft opened up and that's when I saw them. Beings, I guess you'd call them. They were tall with elongated limbs and large dark eyes that seemed to absorb the light around them. Their skin, if you could call it that, was a pale, almost translucent color, and it shimmered slightly, like looking at a bubble in the sunlight. There were three of them, and they just stood there at the edge of the craft, looking at me. I couldn't move. It was like my body had decided this was above its pay grade and just shut down. I'm thinking I'm either about to get beamed up to who knows where, or I've officially lost it. I mean, what else do you think when you're staring down a trio of alien beings with skin like moonlight? But here's the kicker. They didn't do anything. They just stood there watching me. It was like we were both trying to figure each other out. I remember noticing how their heads tilted slightly. Almost like a curious animal. It's hard to describe, but in that moment, I felt this weird connection, like they were just as thrown off by me as I was by them. Then, one of them, The one in the middle moved forward a bit. It raised its hand, or at least what I assumed was its hand. It wasn't like ours, more elongated and with more joints, kind of graceful in a way. And then, something just clicked in my head. It's hard to explain. It was like a rush of images and emotions, but not in words or sounds. It was more direct, more primal. I got the sense they were explorers, not conquerors. They were studying, learning about different worlds, different species. I don't know how long we stood there, exchanging whatever it was. It could have been minutes or hours. Time felt irrelevant, but eventually, the flow of images and emotions in my head slowed, then stopped. The alien lowered its hand and the connection broke. I was left standing there gasping, trying to process everything. They didn't try to communicate further. Instead, they just gave me this long last look. I swear, it felt like they were saying goodbye, and then turned back to their craft. The door sealed up, and with that humming sound, the craft lifted into the air and disappeared into the sky. I stood in that clearing until the stars came out. Had I really communicated with aliens? And what did it all mean? The images, the emotions. They were still buzzing in my head, like a dream you can't quite remember. Eventually, I stumbled back to my campsite, my equipment forgotten. I didn't sleep that night. I couldn't. My mind was a whirlwind of thoughts, images, and emotions that I couldn't quite grasp. The next morning, the sun rose, but the world felt different to me now. I packed up my gear with a mechanical sort of detachment. The tools and instruments that I'd always relied on for certainty and measurement now seemed trivial in the face of the vast, unknown universe I'd glimpsed. The drive back to civilization was a blur. I kept replaying the encounter in my mind, the images from the aliens, the feeling of that inexplicable connection. I knew I couldn't just keep this to myself. It was too important, too life-changing. When I got back, I did some research. I spent nights poring over UFO sightings, alien encounters, trying to find anything that matched what I'd experienced. But nothing quite fit. It was like trying to piece together a puzzle when you don't even know what the picture is supposed to be. I started to feel isolated, disconnected from the people around me. They were all caught up in their daily lives, oblivious to the incredible things that could be out there. I wanted to tell them, to open their eyes, but I held back, fearing ridicule and disbelief. But then, something happened that changed everything again. A few weeks after my encounter, I was contacted by a group, let's call them Seekers. They were a collection of scientists, researchers, and others who had experienced or studied phenomena like mine. They'd heard about my encounter through the grapevine. Turns out, the alien enthusiast community is more connected than you'd think. Meeting with the Seekers was like finding a port in a storm. They listened to my story, really listened, without judgment or skepticism. They shared their own experiences and research, which ranged from the scientifically grounded to the wildly speculative. But the important thing was, they believed me. And more than that, they helped me make sense of what had happened. We theorized that it was a form of communication, a sharing of knowledge and experience. It wasn't just a random encounter, it was an intentional exchange. The Seekers believed that these aliens were reaching out to humanity, trying to establish contact in a way that wouldn't cause panic or fear. As for me, my life has never been the same since that day in the Minnesota wilderness. I still work as a land surveyor, but now it's just a part of who I am. My real passion lies in exploring the unknown and trying to understand more. So, that's my story. It's not just a tale of an alien encounter. It's really a journey of my personal discovery. And who knows? Maybe one day, we'll all be ready to embrace the incredible diversity of life that exists in this universe, both seen and unseen. All right, so let me tell you about this one time I ran into something. Well, let's just say it wasn't your usual stray dog or a raccoon tipping over garbage cans. My name's Mike, and I've been a cop in a small town in northern Vermont for about 15 years now. It's the kind of place where everyone knows everyone, and the most exciting thing that usually happens is the annual Maple Syrup Festival. It was a regular Thursday night, just past 11 p.m. and I was doing my usual rounds. The town was quiet, like it always is, with most folks already in bed. I remember it was particularly clear that night, with a full moon lighting up the streets better than any streetlight could. I was driving down this old back road that winds through a dense part of the forest. We don't get many calls from out there, so I wasn't expecting anything out of the ordinary. Just as I was about to turn onto the main road, something caught my eye. There was a figure standing on the edge of the woods, just off the road. At first, I thought it was a person, maybe someone needing help. So, I slowed down the cruiser and rolled down my window. As I got closer, I realized this was no person. Standing there, illuminated by the moonlight, was this creature. It was tall, I'd say at least 7 feet, and covered in scales that had this eerie greenish hue. Its eyes were the most unsettling part. They were yellow and reflective, like a cat's, but bigger. It didn't look like any animal I've ever seen or heard of. Now, I've been trained to handle tense situations, but we had no training on anything like this. This was something I couldn't explain. My first instinct was to call it in, but what was I going to say? Dispatch, I've got a giant lizard man on Old Mill Road. I could already hear the jokes back at the station. I reached for the radio, still keeping my eyes on the creature. It didn't move, just stood there staring at me. Then, without any warning, it let out this sound. It wasn't a growl or a hiss, more like a low, resonating hum. The sound seemed to vibrate through the air. I felt it in the cruiser, like a ripple passing through the car in me. I was gripping the steering wheel, trying to make sense of what I was seeing and hearing. The creature took a step toward the cruiser, and that's when I noticed its hands, or claws rather. They were long and seemed almost human-like, but with an extra joint or two, and the ends were tipped with these sharp black nails. For a moment, I thought about getting out of the car, approaching it. Maybe it was injured. But something in my gut told me that was a bad idea. It stood there still as a statue, with its yellow eyes fixed on me. I could feel its gaze, almost like it was sizing me up, trying to figure out what I was going to do next. I remember my hand was still hovering over the radio, but I couldn't bring myself to call it in. Part of me was afraid of sounding crazy, and the other part, well, I guess I was just fascinated, in a weird sort of way. Here was something completely unknown, something that didn't fit into any box I knew about. The creature tilted its head slightly, as if curious. It was then I noticed more details. The scales were overlapping, kind of like armor, and there were these faint, darker stripes running down its back. Its breathing was slow and deliberate, and I could see a slight mist in the air with each exhale. I don't know how long we stayed like that, me and the cruiser, and it just a few yards away. It could have been seconds or hours. Time seemed to stand still. Then, as if it made up its mind about me, the creature turned and started to walk back into the woods. Without thinking, I opened the car door and stepped out. I know, not the smartest move, but I was driven by this need to understand, to see more. The creature stopped and looked back at me, its eyes reflecting the moonlight. It felt like a silent acknowledgement. I followed it into the woods, keeping a safe distance. My training told me to be cautious, to be aware of my surroundings, but my curiosity was in the driver's seat now. The forest was alive with the sounds of the night, but there was a strange calmness in the air, a stillness that was almost palpable. The creature moved with purpose, weaving through the trees with ease. It seemed to know exactly where it was going. I tried to move quietly, but the forest floor was littered with fallen branches and leaves, making my footsteps sound unnaturally loud. After a few minutes, the creature stopped at a clearing. The moonlight filtered through the canopy, casting a soft glow over the area. The creature stood in the center, then looked up at the sky. It was a strangely human gesture, full of wonder and contemplation. I stayed at the edge of the clearing, not wanting to intrude or startle it. It was then I noticed something on the ground near the creature. Objects carefully arranged in a circle, stones, feathers, and what looked like bones, all placed with intention. The creature bent down and touched one of the stones, then let out that same low hum I heard earlier. The sound filled the clearing, vibrating through the ground and the air. It was almost hypnotic, and I found myself drawn into it, lost in the moment. Just as quickly as it started, the hum stopped and the creature stood up. It gave one last look around the clearing, then at me, and without a sound, disappeared into the forest. I was left standing there, in the middle of the clearing, surrounded by the moonlit night and the strange circle of objects. It felt like waking up from a dream, a surreal and unexplainable experience. As I made my way back through the woods, the eerie feeling lingered, a mix of awe and confusion. The night was still, the only sounds being my footsteps and the occasional call of a distant owl. The moon was high in the sky, casting a silver glow over everything, making the forest seem like a different world. I reached the cruiser, my mind still processing what had just happened. I sat in the driver's seat for a while, not starting the car, just sitting there in the silence. I knew what I saw wasn't something that could be easily explained or understood. It was beyond the scope of my training as a cop, not to mention beyond the boundaries of what's considered normal. Eventually, I started the cruiser and began the drive back to the station. The roads were empty, and the town was asleep. It felt like I was the only one awake in the world, the only one who knew what was out there. Back at the station, I parked the cruiser and sat there for a moment. I knew I had to make a decision. Do I report what I saw, risking disbelief and ridicule? Or do I keep it to myself, a secret guarded closely? After a long internal debate, I decided to keep it to myself. I didn't have any evidence, just my word, and I knew how these things went. People would think I was overworked or imagining things. The next few days were a blur of routine patrols and paperwork. But my mind was elsewhere, replaying the encounter over and over. I found myself driving past that same stretch of road, almost hoping to see the creature again. Weeks turned into months, and the encounter became a distant memory, something I would think about late at night or when driving down that lonely road. I never saw the creature again, but I couldn't shake the feeling that it was still out there, a part of the wild and unexplained mysteries of the world. And that's where my story ends. A strange encounter on a quiet night that left me with more questions than answers. A glimpse into a world that exists alongside ours, unseen and unknown. It's something I'll carry with me, a reminder that sometimes the most extraordinary things happen when you least expect them. I've been a park ranger at Yosemite National Park for the better part of a decade. The job's exactly what you'd expect. Long hikes, endless paperwork, and the occasional rescue operation. But there's something about the park that's always felt a bit off to me, especially during the night shifts. This particular encounter happened on a routine patrol. It was late, probably past midnight, and the moon was just a sliver in the sky. The air was crisp, the kind that makes your nose feel a bit stiff when you breathe in. I was making my way through one of the more secluded trails. It's a path not many know about, tucked away in the eastern part of the park, near Tuolumne Meadows. The night was quiet, eerily so. Usually you'd hear the occasional owl or the distant yip of a coyote, but that night, nothing. Not a peep from anything. That's what made me stop. In my years out here, I've learned to trust my instincts, and something was telling me to be on high alert. I continued walking, my hand resting on the flashlight clipped to my belt. The beam cut through the darkness, casting long shadows between the trees. Then, I heard it. It wasn't loud, more like a low murmur, but in the stillness of the night, it sounded like a shout. I turned toward the sound, my heart starting to pound. That's when I saw it. Standing a few yards away was a figure. At first glance, it looked like a large dog, but as I shone my flashlight on it, the details became clearer, and it was like nothing I'd ever seen before. It stood on two legs, its body covered in thick, dark fur. The head was the most startling part. It was canine, with pointed ears and a long snout, but the eyes, they were human, intelligent, and they were staring right at me. I stood there staring back at it. My mind was racing, trying to make sense of what I was seeing. It wasn't aggressive, just standing there, watching me with an almost curious gaze. I've heard stories from the old-timers about strange creatures in the woods, but I always took them as just that, stories. But here I was, face to face with something that defied explanation. I stood there, my heart pounding in my ears. The creature's eyes held mine, and in that gaze, I felt a connection, an understanding that was both terrifying and profound. It was as if it knew me, could see right through me. Its eyes weren't just human-like. They were expressive, conveying a depth of intelligence that no animal should possess. I noticed then that it wasn't just standing there. It seemed to be communicating something. Its head tilted slightly, as if it was curious or puzzled by my presence. This wasn't a mindless beast. It had awareness, a sense of its own existence. The realization hit me hard. We weren't just two beings in the forest. We were two conscious entities, observing each other. I slowly reached for my radio, but a subtle shift in the creature's stance made me pause. It was a clear sign, a non-verbal communication that said, "Don't." I understood that any sudden movement could break this fragile moment of mutual assessment. So, I kept still, my hand hovering over the radio. The forest around us seemed to hold its breath. The usual sounds of nature were absent, as if the world was waiting to see what would happen next. In those moments, my training as a ranger, my years of experience in the wild, none of it seemed to matter. I was no longer a ranger. I was just another living being in the vast, mysterious wilderness of Yosemite. Then, as quietly as it had appeared, the creature backed away. It moved with a grace that belied its size, each step deliberate and silent. As it retreated into the shadows, I felt an overwhelming sense of loss. The encounter was brief, but it left a lasting imprint on me. I finally let out the breath I didn't realize I was holding and clicked my radio to life, but I didn't call it in. What would I say? That I had a face-to-face encounter with a creature out of a storybook? No, this was something I needed to process on my own. As I made my way back to the ranger station where I documented the incident in my personal journal, a record of the unexplained and extraordinary that I had seen over my time. It was a story that I would keep to myself. The days following the encounter were surreal. I went about my duties, but my mind was constantly replaying that night. I found myself drawn back to the spot where I saw the creature. I couldn't shake the feeling that the encounter was more than just a chance meeting. It felt like a deliberate act, as if the creature wanted to be seen. I started researching, digging into park archives and online forums. The stories of dogman encounters were sparse but consistent. Descriptions of a bipedal canine-like creature with human-like eyes appeared in various accounts, stretching back decades. But none of them were in Yosemite. This was new, or at least unreported. My curiosity turned into an obsession. I spent my nights patrolling areas where I thought the creature might appear again. I talked to other rangers, casually bringing up the topic of strange sightings or experiences in the park, but no one had anything to add. Then, about 2 weeks after the first encounter, it happened again. I was on a late patrol, in a different part of the park, near the base of El Capitan. The area is known for its challenging climbing routes and stunning views. That night, the moon was fuller, casting a pale light over the granite cliffs. I was walking along a narrow path, my flashlight sweeping the ground in front of me, when I heard a sound. It wasn't loud, more like a shuffling of feet on leaves. I turned and there it was, standing at the edge of the trees. It was closer this time, close enough that I could see details I missed before. Its fur was a deep brown, matted in places. Its eyes, those human-like eyes, watched me with what I can only describe as curiosity. We stood there, looking at each other, neither of us moving. I felt a sense of calm this time, a strange sense of familiarity. It was as if the creature recognized me, and I it. There was no fear, just a mutual acknowledgement of each other's existence. I don't know how long we stood there, but eventually, the creature turned and disappeared into the forest. I didn't try to follow. I knew it was pointless. This creature, this dog man, was a part of the park, a part of its wild, unexplored heart. In the weeks that followed, I continued my research, but I kept my encounters to myself. I realized that some things are meant to be experienced, not explained. The Dogman of Yosemite became my secret, a living mystery that challenged my understanding of the natural world. I still work at Yosemite, and every time I patrol the trails at night, I wonder if I'll see it again. I haven't so far, but the possibility is always there. And maybe that's the way it should be. Some mysteries are not meant to be solved, just experienced and appreciated. The Dogman of Yosemite is one of those mysteries for me, a legend in the making. I'm just happy to have been a part of it.